So good morning. Welcome to 40 Days of Prayer, week two. There are message notes in your bulletin, and I encourage you to take them out and follow along as we go. If you missed the first week, you might want to get a CD in the lobby or go online. We have it on our website, and it's on iTunes and all other kinds of podcast apps if you need them. Does anybody need a bulletin so they can follow along this morning? Just stick your hand up because the ushers have them this morning if you didn't get one. Oh, a couple over here. Thanks. All right. Want to ask you before we jump in, did you take a crack at memorizing your verse this last week? This is the first time we've done scripture memorization as part of a morning service. Anybody want to volunteer to stand up and do that verse from memory? Any brave souls? Shelly, you want to try it? Pretty close. Pretty close. Well, we're going to all do this together. Let's do this. Let's say this together out loud. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. All right, so we're going to be doing a new one of these verses every week. You'll notice on the insert in the bulletin today that you've already got this week's verses there, and it'll pop up online. One more thing I want to tell you about. You may have noticed that these scripture verses keep popping up every day on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, and I think they're on some of the other social media that we're connected with. One of the reasons we're doing this is, you know, say you're starting your day and you want to start into prayer, or you want to read a scripture before you begin. We call these scripture prompts or prayer prompts. This is a good place to start. Read the scripture out loud and then let it take you into your prayer time with God. And so we encourage you to do that as well as your regular reading through the week. Well, let's pray as we dig in. Let's start with prayer. Father God, thank you for your Son, our Lord Jesus, who taught us how to talk to you. Prayer is so much of a part of our lives, Lord, that as we follow you, Jesus, there are times I know that I struggle with it. I struggle with prayer, even though it is a part of my life. Lord, we ask that you would teach us to pray. Help us to begin deeper fellowship with you. We pray that you will reveal yourself in your word today and that you'll show us how to apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, prayer is a vast subject. You know, you start looking at prayer, and it's just such a huge topic. I went in and typed the word prayer on Amazon.com to just see how many books there were on prayer, and I got over 100,000 books on Amazon alone on prayer. And then I tried it with Google to see, you know, just what the word prayer would come up with, and it came up with let me just double check that. I think I want to get this right because it was just huge. It blew me away. 910 million results. 910 million and 170 million videos. That's just crazy. One of the things that I've learned in ministry is that we are wired to pray. God built this into us. And you can tell that when you look at any of those sites on the web. You know, all these people who are seeking to pray, seeking to learn how to pray, and some people giving lots of advice about prayer, but God designed you to pray. And you know, everybody in the world prays. Even atheists, when they get in trouble, pray. You know, it's kind of like the soldier in the foxhole. We say that we don't really believe, and then we get into a crisis, and you know, guess what happens? Oh, God, please help me. It's in every culture, and I believe that it's wired right into your DNA, that you are genetically encoded to be able to talk to God and also to want to talk to God sometimes. The second thing that I've learned along the way is that we're not very good at prayer, and we know it. Most people I talk to about prayer, at least in some way, feel a little bit inadequate. You know, they don't feel like quite up to the task. You know, they say things like, well, I don't really know what to pray. I don't really know how to pray. I don't know how to say it. I don't feel real confident when I pray. You know, even the disciples, the 12 guys who spent all their time with Jesus, they didn't feel real comfortable with prayer. And they were with him through his entire ministry and watched him do all kinds of wild things. But Luke 11:1 says, one day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he was finished, one of the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, here's the interesting thing about this. These 12 guys got to watch Jesus do everything while he was on earth. And never once did the disciples say, Lord, teach us to do miracles. They never came to him and said, Lord, teach us to preach. Or Lord, teach us to teach. The only thing they came to Jesus to ask for was, Lord, teach us how to pray. Teach us how to pray. Why? You know, because I think because they were watching the Master all the time and they saw the power behind the miracles and the teaching and his strength. It came in prayer. Jesus prayed constantly. Jesus prayed in public places. Jesus prayed in private places. He prayed morning, noon, and night. He prayed all the time. Jesus never stopped praying. And where's the connection? The connection is with the Father. You know, here's the Father and the Son in great communion. And they realized, you know, if we're going to do what Jesus is doing, what he's asking us to do, we better learn how to do what Jesus does all the time. And you know, just we get a lot of shame about prayer. We feel shame about prayer. We feel like, oh man, that guy over there, he prays so much prettier than I do. Or that woman over there, man, she's so much deeper than I do. Look at all the scripture she fits into her prayer when she stands up. And that guy over there, man, he's prayed for 20 minutes. I can hardly believe it. We feel inadequate sometimes. But you know, there's no shame in asking for help. If the disciples themselves ask Jesus for help, then it's okay, isn't it? So that's why we call this first piece, formally, as we're talking about prayer, a beginner's guide to prayer. I looked up on YouTube as another place I was looking to see about prayer this week, and wondered if there were any videos, and I found hundreds of thousands of videos about prayer. And the interesting thing is many of them contradict each other. So there's lots of interesting advice, but some of it's not very good. There's some really good stuff, but there's also some really bad stuff out there too. And I know that causes frustration. In fact, a lot of our frustration comes from our misconceptions about prayer. We have a lot of funny, phony, baloney ideas about prayer, about what prayer should be and how we should pray and how we should go about that. There are a lot of misconceptions out there, a lot of lies and myths and misunderstandings and legends about prayer. And all that false information with their little magic keys, because you notice, you know, there's always, here's the way to get answered prayer. Here's the little key to this. You know, there's always some little magic formula. And all of this works to make us feel inadequate and guilty, like we don't measure up. But God does not want you to be driven by guilt. He doesn't want you to feel inadequate. He wants you to be drawn by grace. Prayer is not something you're supposed to feel guilty about. It's just a conversation between you and God. There are four really common myths about prayers. I want to run through these. First of all, prayer is not your magic wand. In Harry Potter, you know, you take one of Ollivander's wands and you wave it about and the circumstances change. You know? But that's fiction. Prayer is not magic. It's not some secret words or some incantation that you look at your husband and you say, hocus pocus, you are a great husband. Now, if that worked, I'd be Brad Pitt. Just saying. Another misconception has to do with how we use prayer. Prayer is not a fire extinguisher. You know, kind of like the idea of break glass in case of emergency. You know, that's kind of how we use prayer a lot of the time. The only time we pull out prayer is when we're in pain or when there's an emergency. when we're in crisis, and then we sort of pull out the fire hose of prayer and we start spraying prayer all over it, hoping to put out the fire. But prayer is meant to be our first choice, not our last resort. So before you buy a car, pray. Before you go looking for a job, pray. Before you accept that date, pray. Before you eat that food, pray. You know, we do that. Most of us, anyway. Prayer is not a tug of war, is another one. It's not a tug of war with God. A lot of people think that God doesn't really want to answer your prayers, that he doesn't want to listen to you, that you have to kind of wear God down a little before he answers you. You know, God wants to answer your prayers. When we read the story of the unjust judge, we kind of take that story and we turn it upside down and we make God like the unjust judge. But what does it say in there? It says that God's character is completely opposite the character of the unjust judge who doesn't really want to give. And it says at the end of that, that God's character, he's the one who has compassion and he answers our prayers, and it says he doesn't take a long time to do it. We're going to look at that particular piece a lot closer for those of you who are getting involved in the video series. The fourth idea that's wrong is this: prayer is not a ritual to relieve guilt. Some of you grew up with this, you know, depending on what kind of church you grew up in. If it's a really big sin, then you have to say a certain number of prayers. I hate to say it, that's not in the Bible. In fact, Jesus taught just the exact opposite of that. Prayer is not a punishment for your sin. Prayer is not a penance for your sin. Prayer is a privilege. It is not a duty. It's a joy. It's not some responsibility that you got to pay for because you did something wrong. And that puts prayer in a whole wrong light if we think about it that way. It is not a ritual to relieve guilt. So I want to move away from the misconceptions and talk about four pillars of faith that'll help you if you really want to get deeper in your prayer, to learn how to pray, to take your prayer life up a step. I want to talk about these four pillars of prayer. You know, there's a story, and I don't know if it's myth or true, but the great football coach Vince Lombardi used to, at the beginning of every season, gather all his players in the locker room, and he would pick up a football and hold it up high, and he'd say, "This is a football." That's about as basic as you can get for a beginning, right? Well, we're going to do some basics this morning. We're going to build on those basics as we go, but we're going to start with basics today. But these are fundamental truths on which everything else you want to know about prayer rests. And if you don't get these, you're going to see prayer as a duty or as a burden and not as a delight or as a blessing. So here they are. Here's number one. The first thing the Bible teaches us is that God loves for me to talk to him about anything. It doesn't have to be something spiritual. Did you know that? Did you know you can talk to God about anything? It doesn't even have to be something religious. If you're interested in something, then God is interested in talking to you about it. Why is that? Well, for one, he loves you. And when you love somebody, you take an interest in what they're interested in. And there's a lot of things that I've become interested in over the years because my wife is interested in. And I love her, so I want to be interested in what she's interested in. How else could you explain me watching a Hallmark movie? I mean, really? There's got to be something to it, right? And God is always talking with his children. He is your father. Let's look at a little bit of Bible here. Psalm 103:13 says, "The Lord is like a father to his children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence him." If you're a parent, did you wait till your kids got old enough to talk before you loved them? You didn't, did you? Of course not. When we had our two girls, I loved them from the moment they were born, even when all they could do was wiggle and poop and spit up, you know? But I loved them. They were my children. I'm their daddy. I'm their father. And whether they could talk or not, I had a deep, deep love for my kids. And let me just say this about you, that no matter where you are in your prayer life, whether you're just beginning or you have a hard time talking to God, God loves you. He loves you. In the same way the parent loves a child when they're first learning how to talk. Now, one of my great joys now is that my girls are grown up, and I love having conversations with them, you know? I want to hear about their lives. I want to hear about their work. I want to hear about their interests and their desires. I want to hear about their hopes and their dreams. But we didn't start out, when they were first born, having long conversations. And that's kind of the way that God is with you. You know, he loves you where you're at, but he also longs for those days when he can have those long conversations with you about what's going on in your life, and that you would come to him every day and just talk to him. You know, not just the stuff that you think is important to him. You know, we have this idea about what's important to God, what we think is important to God, and so we end up only talking to God about those things. But everything is important to him. You know, learning to pray is kind of like learning another language. I know all kinds of important phrases like, where is the bathroom? I can do that in about three languages, but I can't carry on a conversation. I remember we were in Honduras, and I tried to have a conversation with somebody, and I thought I was doing pretty good. And at the end of the conversation, the woman looked at me like this. You know, she didn't understand a thing I was saying because I wasn't getting the language yet. But we learn little bits at a time, and then we build on that, and then whole languages are built on that. And you also learn by imitating, right? You know, that's how children do it. They watch us, they listen to us, and then they start repeating things. And isn't it a joy when you hear that first word, mama or dada, you know, you hear that first thing coming from them. It's not iPhone, you know, hopefully. But we listen to those first words with great joy. But over time, we develop language, and we learn language skills. And it's the same thing with prayer. We start simple, and we build. And God loves us at every stage of our lives. Did you know that when you talk to God, there is nothing off limits? Nothing. Nothing is off limits. There is no such thing as a taboo conversation with God. Some people think they should only pray about things like world peace. You know, that's not true. It's not about sounding spiritual. You know, if you've got an upset stomach, you can talk to God about that. If your heart has been broken by a boyfriend or a girlfriend, you can talk to God about that. You know, no subject is too dark. No subject is off limits. He loves you when you talk to him. He loves to hear you talk to him. He loves you all the time, but he loves to hear you talk to him because he's your father. He's like that parent, and he loves it when their child talks to him. Take a look at this. 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says, we can be confident in approaching God, knowing that he listens to us whenever we ask him for anything according to his will. And since we know that he hears us, when we make our requests, then we can be sure that he will answer us. Notice that twice in that passage, in those two verses, you know, it says he listens to us, and it says that he hears us. God always hears, no matter how you say it. Doesn't have to be in fancy words. He always hears what you have to say. And because we know that he hears, we can approach God with confidence in our prayers. We can be sure that he's going to answer us. Earlier, I gave you some misconceptions about prayer. Let me give you a couple of truths about prayer. You might want to write these down. The first is this. Prayer is a conversation, not a ceremony. What's a ceremony? Well, a ceremony is usually done the same way every time, right? It's something that there's a repetitious factor in it. You know, we try to do it the same way or mostly the same way every time. But you know, there are no rules when you talk to God in prayer. It's not ceremonial. That means you talk. But you also listen. It's a conversation. It's got two sides to it. Talk to God for sure, absolutely. But also take time to just be quiet and to listen for what God has to say to you. In fact, here's an interesting thing. I don't know if you've ever done this in your prayer life. I've done this sometimes, and I really feel it's a good practice. And that is, you say to God, Lord, is there anything you want to say to me right now? Is there anything you want to speak into my life right now? And be listening for what God has to say, because you might be very surprised at what he has to say. We're going to talk more about that as we go along, but that's a really good practice to bring into your prayer life. Number two, another good thing to know is that it's a relationship and not a ritual. It's all about getting close to God, about getting acquainted with God, learning more about him. And when you talk to him about the things, well, we often talk to him about the things we think we ought to talk about. And when we do that, that's when it becomes boring. That's when it becomes a duty. That's when it becomes a drudgery. Because, you know, we're doing what somebody else told us we should do in our prayer time. God loves it when you talk to him about anything. That's the first law of prayer. Second principle of prayer is that God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. You don't have to have flowery language. I did not grow up with the King James Bible. So I can tell you from personal experience, you know, what it is to feel inadequate when you're in a group. When I went to Bible college and there were all these kids who had been learning Bible verses from the time they were little kids, and I was, you know, just in my late teens, early 20s, just coming into this, and I didn't know anything about the Bible, and I certainly didn't know the King James English. And you know, I would hear people pray and use these fancy phrases, and I would feel like, oh, I can't pray out loud because I don't sound like that. I just don't have that. But, you know, the only condition is that our prayers are sincere. That means they come from the heart. And they can be just simple, authentic, you know, very real. They can be gutsy. They can be honest. You pray about what you feel like praying, not about what you think you ought to pray about. And you don't get up and you start addressing God like, oh, thou great potentate of the universe, thou who hast dost wonderfully bestow on us all manners of beseeching blessings. You know, and God looks at you and goes, what? I'm not from England. I don't speak old English. Why are you speaking 200-year-old English? You know, it doesn't make any sense. God understands every language, and he understands the way you speak, just how you are. Just saw this really cool Bible app last night. It's a hip-hop guy is taking the word into the streets of his city where he lives. So he got a bunch of rappers and hip-hop guys to record the New Testament, and he put it in a Bible app that's free, and they're using this to lead people to Jesus on the streets in Chicago. That blows my mind. You know, that's what we're talking about. In your language, you can talk to God. And God wants to talk to you so that you understand. It's not in your outline, but you might want to write this down. Longer is not stronger. Longer is not stronger in prayer. Simple, sincere, humble, authentic kinds of prayers. Those are the kinds of prayers that God is open to hearing from you. Here's what God says in his word. And this is what Jesus said when he was talking about prayer. He says, when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. Instead, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling on and on like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask. For some, prayer seems to be a performance. I've been in some situations where it seemed like a performance art, you know? Look at me! Look at the prayer I'm going to do. Hey, watch this. Watch what I'm going to do, how I'm going to say this. Somebody once said, stay humble and you won't stumble. We need to focus on God and who he is and to let go of all that pretentious stuff. The bottom line is this. Hebrews 10:22 says, let us come near to God with a sincere heart and faith, a sure faith. Okay, so first, God loves for me to talk to him. The second thing is God listens to prayers that are simple and sincere. Number three is this. God likes to show his grace by answering prayer. He loves to show you his grace. You know, we think it's so hard that God is resisting us. But God is good. He is a good, good Father. He's a gracious Father. He's a compassionate and loving Father. And God loves to answer prayers because he gets to show you just what he's really like. You know, everything in the universe comes from the generosity of God. There's no one more generous in this universe than God is. So God loves when you make requests, when you come to him. Here's your important fact of the week. I'm trying to have one of these every week, but over 20 times in the New Testament, we are commanded to ask. Over 20 times. Ask and it shall be given, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened. You have not because you ask not. If you ask anything in my name, over 20 times, if you're a child of God, you are commanded to ask God for things. Why? God gets to show you how good he is. He gets to show you how gracious he is, how loving he is, how generous he is. And with every answer that God gives you in prayer, it shows that he is a good, good God, regardless of the answer. Now, you don't get the answer yes to every prayer. You know that, right? Sometimes God gives us different answers. But even when the answer is no, or even if the answer is not yet, God is still good. He's still your good Father. Think of God as a good parent. No parent gives their child everything they ask for. That would not be helpful. And at times, parents have to say no to their children because they're not ready for something. You know, when my daughter was 5 years old, I didn't give her the keys to the car and say, go out and drive the car. So sometimes God says, hey, wait, it's not time yet. You're not ready for this yet. But when you're ready, I'll supply what your need is. There are dozens and dozens of good reasons why God doesn't say yes to everything you ask for. And you may not understand why, but you're not God, and neither am I. Sometimes God says no for your protection. Sometimes God says no for your direction, to direct you. Sometimes God says no for your correction, to get you back on course. Sometimes God says no for your perfection, to help you to grow in character. And sometimes he says no for introspection. He looks inside of us and he helps us to look inside of us and see things that we couldn't see about ourselves before. A child that got everything they asked for, they'd be spoiled rotten. God is not a vending machine where you just put in a prayer and you get out whatever you ask for. When you pray, there are always four possible answers to your prayer. God always answers every single prayer. And there are four answers. Here's what they are. Yes, no, not yet, and you have got to be kidding. You're asking me for what? That's usually when we ask for something that goes contrary to what he said in his word in the scriptures. You know, we are not allowed to pray for. He will not receive a prayer from us when it goes against something he's already revealed in his word in the scriptures, right? So that's where you've done it too. I've done it at times. You know, ask those you've got to be kidding prayers, and God said, come on. Jeremiah 33:3 says that, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wondrous things that you could never figure out on your own. I like the way the Message says that. It's just a great translation when it says stuff like this. It helps us to get a better understanding of what he's trying to say. That you could never figure out on your own. Sometimes God's answer gives us a bigger perspective, doesn't it? You're looking back and you go, oh, now I see why he did this. And I'm glad. But in the moment, there might be something that we just really, really wanted right at that point. You know, there's a Garth Brooks song you're probably familiar with. It says, thank God for unanswered prayers. And there are times when our prayers unanswered are the things that help us the most. And your God knows not only how to give you good gifts, he loves you, and he loves to give them. So when we pray, we need to trust that God knows how to answer you in the way that's best for you. But you do need to ask. James 4:2 says, "You do not have because you do not ask." That's almost a theme for us during our 40 days. Now here's the final pillar we're building on this week, and it's the biggest one of all, and this is huge. If you get this, it could radically change your life, your relationship with God. And this is it. God longs to be close to me and to you. God longs to be close to me. He desires it. He wants it deeply. He really wants to be close to you. If you're away from somebody for a long time, especially if you really love that person, don't you long to have that conversation with them when you finally get back together? You know, when there's somebody... one of the really positive things about traveling out to British Columbia in December was to spend time with my brother and my sister and their families, who I just don't get to see very often. And I love them so much, and I miss them when I'm not there, and we have great conversations when we finally get together. And that's how God is. God is waiting to have that great conversation with you. I hear people sometimes say, well, God's got better things to do than talk to me. That is so wrong. That is completely upside down. It is not true. God is never too busy for you. He's never offline. He's never short of bandwidth. He's always, always available to you. And you can talk to him at any moment of the day, any second of the day. If you want an extra verse to memorize this week, you might want to try this one. It's Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18. And it says, "The Lord waits for you to come to him." It's written in your bulletin if you want to get it. "The Lord waits for you to come to him so that he can show you his love and compassion." God waits for you. He wants to show you his love and compassion. You were made for this. You were made to know God. And the Lord waits for you to come to him so he can show you his love and compassion. Any day, any night, any time, you go to God and say, "Hey, Lord, I've got a couple of minutes here. I just want to check in. You know, here's what's on my heart today. Here's what I'm feeling. Here's what I need. I love you, Lord. I don't understand this, Lord. Please teach me that, Lord." God longs to be close to you, to hear from you. It's one of the reasons God made you, is to love you. Well, the Bible's full of examples of people who had a close relationship with God. People like Enoch and Noah and Job and Hezekiah, who were all very close to God. And he longs to be close to you too. We think that God wants us to do stuff for him, and that's how we get close to God. You know, that we do things to earn points, but that's just not it. God says, "I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me." In John 15:15, Jesus says this. He says, "I don't call you servants. I call you my friends." Now, I don't know about you, but I wrestle with this. I sometimes think, how in the world can God call me a friend, you know? This is one of those things that I just have a hard time grasping sometimes. But this is what God says. So why are we doing this 40 days of prayer? What's the whole point of doing this exercise? I think because there's nothing more important than prayer in your life. Job said that in the prime of my life, God was my best friend. Is God your best friend? Is he? This is how we become best friends with God. Four pillars we've been building on today. God loves for me to talk to him. God listens to prayers that are sincere and simple. God likes to show his goodness by answering prayer. And God longs to be close to you. James says, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. How do you get closer? Desire it, and make time for it. That's the only way you're going to get closer to God. Now, in the days ahead, during this 40 days, we're going to learn how to do all that stuff. We're going to learn some of the benefits of prayer and what they are. But I want to leave you with this one last thing. This one benefit, and that is this. The closer I am to God, the less stressed and the more blessed I will be. My wife has a, a big bag purse that says, too blessed to be stressed. And my prayer is that that will be true for you. Let's pray as we finish. Father, I pray a simple prayer and a sincere prayer. I want the people that are here right now to know you better. God, I want them to fall in love with you the way that you love them. I want them to know you the way that you desire them to. Lord, I pray that you'll use the words we've shared today to touch their hearts and to transform their lives. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.